I speak to you in God's holy name, God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. Today is Pentecost Sunday, I think one of the most important days in the life of the church. Last week we talked about atonement and another way of understanding atonement as being at one-ment and how it's based in love, not in fear. And the Holy Spirit is with us, and I believe in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us to do things beyond what we can ask or imagine. The Holy Spirit is alive in each and every one of us. I want to talk a little bit about the historical understanding that you saw in the scripture this morning that Jerry read from the book of Acts. And then we're going to see how the Holy Spirit is alive and in action here now. And we're going to have an opportunity at the end of our service to feel the Holy Spirit working in us, for we have a congregational meeting to decide if we are going to support another refugee family in our midst. But that will be in the hall over coffee. At the time that Luke wrote the book of Acts, it was about the year 85. And everybody who wrote in the New Testament were inspired by the Holy Spirit, inspired to speak about the truth of an alive God in their lives, of an alive Jesus in their lives, but also they were human beings. They never stopped being human, and they were influenced by the environment in which they were in. And when the book of Acts was written, you have to remember this context. The city of Jerusalem had been utterly destroyed in 70 AD, as we've spoken about in the past. It was completely ruined. The temple was gone and the city was gone. And the people at that time, including the Christians who were in the way, they weren't known as Christians then, but they were followers of Jesus, but they were still Jews. And they were decimated when the temple was destroyed because they felt that the temple was the presence of God on earth. And they began to emerge in the years after the year 70 to understand that God lived within each person, that the temple was not this building in Jerusalem, but themselves. And there was a spirit of God alive in them. Now, the Jews were also saying that since you're following Jesus, you have become deviant and you no longer have the Spirit of God in you. Because we often forget as Christians that Jews have a Pentecost. Jews have that sense of Pentecost, but their energy of Pentecost was slightly different. Their Pentecost focus was on the fact that they were saved when the death angel came across the land in Egypt and the firstborn males were killed. Remember reading that? Well, those who were spared, they believed it was the Spirit of God sparing them, and that to them was Pentecost. The Christians also, and everybody, was affected by the year 85, by what happened in Pompeii. Now, how many of you here know about Pompeii? Okay, so Pompeii was a city, seemed to be one of the principal cities of the known world at that time. And in 77 AD, it was completely destroyed by a volcano. It was no more. In fact, they recently were able to reconstruct a horse. The remains of the skeleton of that horse had been found in Pompeii. It happened so dramatically, so quickly, that the horse was caught where it stood and was killed and embalmed in lava right away. Bang. But they were wondering that they understood that volcanoes were fires of God in anger. And so they thought the end times is surely coming. Jerusalem has been destroyed, and Pompeii is now destroyed. The world is coming apart. These are the end of times. So when you read in the scripture in the New Testament about the end times, they thought the end times was immediately then. The end times kind of theology has been used a lot over the centuries. Everybody's expecting the end times. But their real expectation was right then. And so you have a gathering of these people for the Jewish Pentecost, but all of a sudden they understood it in a whole new way. God the Holy Spirit inspired them to be dramatic. And they were speaking and understanding, and the metaphor came back through the writing of Luke years after the event in Acts, that the church was universal, that God's love was not just restricted to some Jewish people, but God's love came for anyone who was following Jesus. That God's love was not contained. That God was greater, because they were in Rome by this time, and they used to think that only this Holy Spirit of God in the Jewish tradition would happen in Jerusalem and in Judea and Israel. No, here they were in Rome, and the Holy Spirit was alive with them. And they saw that instead of being afraid of fire, as they were with Pompey, that as the bishop, archbishop of the United States, the equivalent to our primate, the primate of the United States at the wedding, and I'm sure most of you saw the wedding, and saw him preaching at the wedding yesterday. It was really quite dramatic. He was talking about love, and that God's love knew no boundaries. And they understood that, and that was Pentecost for them. That was dramatic, alive, and powerful. That God's love overcomes all fear, overcomes judgment. There's no judgment in God's love. That God's love is universal. And that's the Holy Spirit, and that's what we follow. And so that action of the Holy Spirit not only was alive for them, but is alive for us today. We all are encouraged and know the Holy Spirit is alive in each and every one of us. It's a gift we all have. And it expresses itself in many ways. All of us have done things and reached out beyond our normal boundaries in and through the Holy Spirit. Some of you are doing caregiving today, and I know it's a challenge, but you're beyond what you thought you were capable of doing. And the Holy Spirit is there with you in that caregiving. Others of you are doing other things that are dramatic. We have an example. Mike, come on down. And Inez, you want to join him? No, you want to stay back. Okay. Mike is going to tell you his story, how he was brought out to do something great. And I believe it's a ministry and inspired by the Holy Spirit. The microphone is yours.
Good afternoon. My name is Michael Dix. I had the privilege in April to go down to Belize and work with a number of different resorts and retrain their staff. Cooking, cleaning, food safety, service, a number of different requirements. They don't have a cooking school down there. We were approached back in November. And my wife and I are, well, you know, we have a business to run, and you know, I mean, shutting it down for a month because we do all the, you know, the food service and our operations. We made the decisions to go. We figured, well, it's an opportunity, and maybe that's something that we could help out. We went down, and we were welcomed. I was a little bit concerned about, you know, having another chef on site, and you know, too many chefs in the kitchen is not a great thing.
Especially if they throw knives.
Yeah, and they were lovely people. I left Belize thinking, well, when we got there, I know one of the things that my wife and I both, we looked around and we thought, these poor people are living in these shacks and these, you know, houses with three walls and half a roof. And here we're making the assumption that these people are suffering. And I went ahead. We trained, you know, three different resorts. We were in Dangria, Placencia, and Hopkins. People were lovely and friendly. They all have, you know, all the groups that we were there have a strong faith, and very happy people. We came home, and we like to believe we left something in Belize with the training and everything. And we came home and realized that we probably took more from Belize than we actually brought. the Holy Spirit works in mysterious ways, I can attest to. But on our arrival home, and we were reflecting on Belize, and a month is a long time, and I know my wife was ready to pack it in after a couple of weeks. She's like, well, you know, this is too much sitting around. On our arrival home, we had a horrible incident next door, I own the property next door. The gentleman took his life that was looking after my project. 39 years old, wonderful man, left a daughter behind. And it was detrimental, devastating for us. I mean, he was a very nice fellow in that. And we look back, and our trip in Belize, what we did bring back is not to assume what people have and don't have. We took a lighter heart to this, or a heavier heart to look and say, you know, what was he going through and what happened, and you know, did we miss something? Could we have helped? It put us down quite a bit. And yesterday I was in the yard and doing some work, and I think it was on stone 154 that we're lifting to a patio, because now we're a contractor, we're landscapers, I'm going to actually send them off to somebody at the church here. And I took a minute and I kind of went, you know, Lord, this is a whole lot, you know, this is heavy on our heart, this gentleman. I'm thinking, you know, where do we go? And I sit on the porch next door and I look up, and I took the camera out, or phone anyway, and took the picture. There was a rainbow over the mountain, over our church. And it is just a powerful picture, a powerful picture. And the reason I look at this and I'm reflecting on Belize and thinking, well, you know, who are we to say that what people are suffering and how we don't really look. And I know my eyes are going to be open now to try to understand what people feel and fear and not judge, which is something that we did that whole month we were there. You know, the Holy Spirit has touched us in the exact same instance when we were moving into our property. We were having some issues and some, you know, things with constructions and everything. And we were on the porch, second floor, and I'm going to send this picture off as well, maybe put on the webpage. And my wife said, what did we get ourselves into? I said, I don't know, dear. I says, you know. And we were staining, and the fumes were getting crazy. We went outside to get some fresh air. And again, over our church, you know, which wasn't our church, I guess at the time it was, you know, the neighbor. We looked across and the sky went red. I took pictures of it. I couldn't believe it. And I'm out there thinking, you know, here we're suffering in these fumes and all these things. And the sky was red. And I took a photo again of this magnificent thing and said, looked at each other and said, well, I think God's put us here and we're going to stay and we'll fight through what we have to do. But through our trip in Belize, I thought I was doing them a lot of good, and I brought back, I think, their culture and standards and love that I think I took a little bit more when I left. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Mike. The Holy Spirit is always alive, always working. And what Mike didn't share in the testimony of his experience in Belize is also part of what you were doing was teaching them how to be food safe, I think.
Yeah.
And that's pretty important, because they'll be healthier, and you, if we'll go down to visit Belize, you'll be healthier too. I think that's a gift as well. Thank you for that sharing. So we see the Holy Spirit is alive in Mike and Inez and all of us. And I want us to be always aware and open to that. That we live in a time now that is much more difficult to be faithful than it was in the time of the apostles. Because they were witnesses who we knew. Now we work by faith, and we are inspired by the Holy Spirit to keep on moving, to take risks in love. That's what it's about. We are called to take risks in love. That's part of why we entered into the relationship with the community last year to help settle a refugee from Africa. that family who we've now known. And we have that opportunity again. And so in our prayers today, I'm asking you to allow the Holy Spirit to work in you as you get challenged again. Do we support yet another family? What is God calling us to do at this time in our history? Now, these folks may never come to this church if we decide to participate. But nevertheless, we are called as a community of God to enter into at least reflecting and praying and making a decision. Do we support these folks who are on the run and need a safe place in Canada? And so today in our personal lives, in the lives of our friends, in the lives who are beyond our friends, our personal family, I pray the Holy Spirit will be there with us, abiding in us, and that we are open to the call and the leading of the Holy Spirit so that we go beyond our comfort zone. That's what it's about. We have comfort zones. I mean, I have a comfort zone too, but I'm always pushed to go beyond it and do the next thing and do more. Sometimes it's risky and it's not always rewarding, but most of the time it is. And so I call on us today as we receive the Eucharist to know we have the full loving presence of God within us in a symbolic way, to use that full presence of God to help us make our life decisions, both within the parish and in our daily lives, and our reaching out in service to our family, friends, and those beyond. May God bless us all. Amen.